You don't ever know what someone else's story is, what their situation is, and you don't know that your smile isn't the thing that's going to make their day. As a teacher, throughout the years, I will get letters or notes or cards from my kids. And one year I got a card and it was not signed. They didn't say who they were, but it just said, "Thank you for smiling every day."
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the Going North Advancement Compass, available now on Amazon.com. It is an interactive journal for you to track your personal growth, track your goals, track your wins, and help you advance north to your next level of success. So pick it up today and get growing. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today. That's right indeed, my friends. That's right indeed. For those who have been longtime listeners of the show, it's the era of returning guests, y'all. So that means the lights are still on, y'all. So thanks for all those who support the show and keep it going north in more ways than one, because you're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat seven times over once again, y'all. Because today's wonderful guest, she's a wonderful bookcaster, y'all. So not only she joined the business of immortality with her book, she's also a podcast host as well. And she's also a wonderful mom, a German teacher, a spiritual life coach, Reiki practitioner, and now intuitive healer. So she's added something else to the magical bio that grows like a wonderful tree, giving shade to folks in the summer. So let's give it up for the marvelous and outstanding, the one, the only Melissa Oatman. How you doing today, Melissa?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me back on your show.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure, indeed. Yeah, one of my favorite podcasts is on freaking Earth. Enjoyed being on the show a while back. Love your content. Have one of the most pleasing voices ever, and you put out so much good stuff in the world. I'm like, how could I not have you back?
Well, thank you. Love that.
Yes, right indeed. It's right indeed. I was surprised. I'm like, hey, I got a Twitter notification. It's like, oh, shoot, she released a book. Oh, shoot, that was a month ago. How the hell did I not get notified about this? Wait a second. You need to get herself back on here indeed. That's right, indeed.
I know. I'm always busy. What can I say? I'm always doing something.
Oh, yeah, that's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. She's not letting Mountain Dew soda just be the ones that are doing. She's doing too. We'll call Melissa Dew.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right, indeed. She's the purple Mountain Dew. In this case, the purple Melissa Dew.
That's
That's right.
right.
That's right, indeed. That's right. She's like the soda for a cause, y'all.
Yes.
Well, but hey, so how's life been treating you since the last appearance? It's been a couple freaking years, and you've released so much stuff, and you got a new magical book out, and talks about a really tough topic, about the topic of grief. So my goodness, so how have you been?
Well, probably like everybody else since 2020, it's been a rough couple of years. Actually, in 2019, I changed careers, not changed careers, but I changed jobs and I started teaching at a new school where my kids happened to also go to school and it was their senior year. And in February of 2020, they turned 18. And a few weeks after that, their father took his own life. And then COVID happened in March of 2020. And so they didn't have prom. Their graduation was different than it normally would have been. But I will have to say that our school district did a great job of giving them a wonderful graduation anyway. But then in the summer of that year, my mom was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. So those few years were really, really rough, and my mom ended up passing away in January of 2022 to pancreatic cancer. And so that is actually what led to my newest project, which is my book called Beautiful Mourning: A Guide to Life After Loss, because we experienced a lot of loss from 2019 on. And I know a lot of people have, because whether you've lost a loved one to COVID, or a lot of people just, they lost jobs, they lost their livelihood. A lot of things happen for a lot of people. And so that's kind of what I have been up to, is healing from all of that and helping other people also to heal from all the difficult situations that have been going on lately.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, sorry for the loss here, mom. Man, that's definitely a heavy blow right there. Especially sounds like darn to kick off a year like that. Like that's not how you start off a year, shoot. And anytime's a
No.
bad time, but Lord.
Yeah, it was a lot. And I mean, I also lost in that time my great aunt, who helped raise me, so it was like a grandmother, lived next door to me growing up. And then my actual grandmother, my mom's mom, died a year before her. So it was like loss after loss after loss after loss of significant and important people in my life. And that's kind of what this process led me to. Looking at the grief journey and what it was like for me, and how to work through it with a little more grace and ease, because it's a really, really difficult thing, grief is, and especially when it's someone really significant and close to you. And it's amazing how much our lives changed after the loss of my mom. So I thought, well, at first, I was just writing it down to be a healing journey for myself, and then I thought, oh, you know what? This could be a book. Kind of how my first book also started.
Yeah, that's right indeed. Heck, I even heard you went the self-publishing route for this time around too.
I did. I had a publisher the first time, which was fine. But like with anything, you're giving up a lot of control when you work with someone else. And they take a lot of the profits that you make when you go with a publisher. And I just thought to myself, you know what? You can do this. You can do this yourself. Really, I did everything else anyway along the way. There was a lot that, I ended up learning and doing when I worked with a publisher. So I just did a little research, and luckily, I have a best friend who is an editor. And he was very happy to help me. He edited my first book, and he was happy to help me out with this book. And so, with his help, we were able to get it published. And that was a huge accomplishment, something that I'm very proud of that we were able to do.
That's sweet. That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's what I'm talking about indeed. Because yeah, that's the drawback about the traditional route with publishing. It's like residuals. It's like if you really want something, if you're gonna pay your rent, your product you have to sell thousands upon thousands of
Yeah.
copies.
And what I don't think people understand with traditional publishing too is they don't do any of your marketing. None of the marketing is involved. All they do is publish it. They just get it onto Amazon, and then you're responsible for everything else yourself. And that's the hard work, is the marketing of the book. The publishing, not that it's not hard work, but marketing is the thing that really takes a lot of time and a lot of skill and knowledge. And I thought, why am I paying somebody else to do all this work when they don't even do the thing that I really needed them to do, which is to market it? So that's why I went with self-publishing.
So I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. But congratulations, indeed. You got it out. You got on the other
Thank you.
side.
I did. I
Round two.
survived it. I survived.
Yeah. It's right indeed. It's right indeed. And here you're going to do the audio for this one, too.
Yeah, it's already done and it's been approved. So it should be out in, they said it could take 2 weeks. I just got the approval email yesterday. I was very excited about that. So yeah, it's going to be on audiobook.com, Spotify, Apple Books, and Probably also Audible, but that takes a little bit longer than the normal audio. Of course, with Amazon, everything takes a little longer. But yeah, so that should be out relatively soon.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. It's a good thing you're getting it out to other places in addition to Audible, because Audible can be the devil.
Yeah, it really, I mean, there are certain publishing companies that just want to make it harder for a person who's trying to individually work hard and get their work out there. And so, yeah, that can be tricky for sure. But luckily, the other places should have it relatively soon, in about 2 weeks, they said. So, and I recorded it myself. I always feel like being able to record it myself, you get my own true emotions. In fact, there were a couple of chapters that were really hard to read because, it brought up a lot of emotion for me.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine indeed, especially the topic and interesting title indeed, Beautiful Morning. It's like, dude, those two words have been in existence for like forever, but your book is like the first time I've seen them together as a book title.
Yeah, and you might think it's an oxymoron, but I actually have a purpose in putting those two words together. And it's not because my first book was beautifully broken. It's not because I'm trying to keep a series title going. People don't often think of grief and mourning and loss as a beautiful thing. But my purpose in writing this book was to help people try to look at death from a different perspective. And to see that there are huge lessons in grief that can either, we can either become bitter after losing someone, or we can choose to see the lessons that their passing has brought. And that's my goal, is to help maybe comfort someone who's going through that loss in by helping them see it from a different and higher perspective.
Yes, I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. Yeah, because everybody grieves differently and depends on the level of it too, depending on how close you were to the situation and depending on how your loved one may have left the world. Some folks are right there in the moment where their last breath is taking place, and some folks, they get the news minutes or an hour later after it already happened.
Yeah. And I talk about that too. One of the things I do talk about is whether you were with them. And as in our case, we were surrounding my mom and we had to make the decision to turn off the medication that she was receiving that kept her on, kept her breathing. And so we had to watch her take her last breath, which I said, there's beauty and also agony in that experience. But even if you were not able to be with your loved one at the time of their passing, I talk about that too. I think we feel like our loved ones leave this world and take anger with them or resentment with them, that they weren't happy with us because we weren't able to be there. And what I try to help people understand in this book is, in my experience, and from interviewing a lot of people on my own podcast, I've interviewed several people who've had near-death experiences. And just in my own experience from having visitation dreams with my mom after her passing and with other loved ones, they're not angry with us. Like, they don't take those negative human emotions with them when they cross to the other side, because on the other side, it's just love and joy and it's all the positive and happy vibrational emotions. But we're the ones that hold on to those things. And we're the ones who say to ourselves and torture ourselves and say, oh, they're mad at me. We had a fight before they passed. And I talk about that in my book too, because we went to a grief group. And in this group, there was a woman who lost her grandson to an overdose. And she was so upset with herself because the last conversation she had on the phone with him, she argued with him and hung up on him.
All day.
And, she was beating herself up and saying, why did I talk to him that way? I didn't know that was going to be the last time I talked to him. But there's so many lessons in that, right? Teaches us that you never know when the last time that you might talk to or see someone is. So that's one of the lessons I take away is always let people know that you love them. You want to make sure that last time you're around them, it isn't, don't allow fighting and that kind of thing to continue to go on in your life because you never know. But also in that same conversation we had in this grief group, we talked about if her grandson were able to come back here for 5 minutes on Earth and to talk to her, do you think that he would be mad at her and be yelling at her? And no, if you had 5 more minutes with your loved one, what would you do? You'd run to them and hug them and tell them how much you love them, right? We wouldn't be concerned about the petty things that don't matter. So trying to keep that into perspective, if you're feeling guilty about it, your loved one wouldn't waste time coming back here to say, I'm angry with you, or why weren't you holding my hand when I took my last breath? They would want you to know how much they loved you. And so one of the tips and tools that I give in that particular chapter when I talk about that is if you are struggling with whatever the last time you saw that person was, if it wasn't on good terms, write yourself a letter from that other person's perspective. What do you think that they would want to tell you? And when you think about it, when I thought about it, okay, if we get to the other side and it's just love, are they going to come back here and chew me out because I wasn't holding their hand when they took their last breath? No, they're not going to be weighed down by that at all. It's our human brain and our human side, the human emotions that want to carry on those things and to think, oh, they're mad at me. That just doesn't happen on the other side. People, when they cross over, lose all of those earthly worries. And it's hard for us to understand because we don't remember what it's like to be on the other side. But that's part of the purpose too in writing this book was in helping people get through those difficult emotions that we're left with when we're grieving our loved ones.
Good stuff right there, indeed. Good stuff right there, indeed. Yeah, especially depending on the situation, especially if they were on the elderly side of the game too. Heck, me, I remember my dad at his last couple weeks on Earth. Body was failing him, and he had that darn pesky dementia on top of that. So, on top of that, and be weighing 90 pounds, he's probably like, "Shoot, forget all that." He's like, "I was glad I ain't in pain no more. Wish my body didn't fail me and lasted longer, but
Exactly.
shoot."
Exactly. And that's another point that I bring up in my book because same thing with my mom. She had wasted away. She weighed under 90 pounds and she was always a very healthy, fit person, but this disease just ravaged her body and she was in so much pain. And that was one thing, I guess, that brought me a little comfort was knowing that she was no longer in pain. That on the other side, that's all left behind. In fact, I went to a medium. There was a fair going on near my house. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to go because I'm, of course, really interested in all of those things. And she said to me, she said, your mother's here and she wants me to tell you she feels so much better. It's like taking off clothes that didn't fit. So I felt very comforted by that. And if you're struggling because your loved one was in pain or was suffering, know that once they cross that, cross to the other side, as they say, I think the cord, it detaches and they go to the other side, they don't feel that suffering anymore. It's what people who have gone through near-death experiences have described to me as total peace and love and bliss. And so that's at least comforting to me to know that she's happy where she is. We're the ones who suffer. And I had, in fact, this was really an interesting story I talk about in my book too. The night that she passed, we were all at the hospital because they allowed everyone to come in and tell her goodbye. Anybody who wanted to come in could come in. And even though it was during COVID, anyone that wanted to come up could come up and have their time with her. And after she passed, I called the minister that she wanted to perform her service. And he said to me, he said, "Oh, Melissa, if we could see what she's seeing right now." So that comforted me because I thought, oh, yeah, you know, I'm sad for myself and I'm grieving for myself, but I should be rejoicing for her.
I'm talking about right there, indeed. Very comforting to know, especially in times like those, because it's like, all right, no more pain. Finally get to shed that part of it. It's like, oh, leave my family, but it's like, hey, at least in a place where there's no more pain and things are a lot on the safer side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is amazing where they are. And, you know, of course we grieve, but we're grieving for ourselves. And really, for me, you know, your loved one never dies if that love that you shared with them never dies. And love never dies. It's always there. And I talk about in my book, too, how you can also get signs from your loved one that they're very much okay. My mom is infamous for sending signs to us, and music was a big thing for her in her life. She loved Patsy Cline and country music, and she used to sing it. She would sing in contests, she sang at festivals, and the week that she passed away, my daughter was in the car on the way home, and she's driving, and my daughter at the time was 20. She was not a country music fan, is not a country music fan. She's the typical 20-year-old would listen to Panic at the Disco or different bands like that. And she had on Spotify. Now, what do you know about Spotify is that it plays songs that are to your liking, right? It's going to play the songs that are in the same genre of the songs you already pick for yourself. But she's on the way home, and Patsy Cline's Crazy came on Spotify for her. And she called me immediately and said, "That had to be Nana." And I said, "Yes, it did, because that was the song she used to sing all of the time." And interestingly enough, that same week, Crazy became a popular song that people were using in the backdrop of their videos on TikTok. It's like, what are the odds that this song happens to be the one? And another really interesting thing was she loved the song "You Are My Sunshine," and she would teach it to every child she knew, and she was a teacher, so she would even sing that with her students. And my best friend's mom bought me, the week that she passed, a blanket. She had no idea, she didn't know about the song or anything, but on the blanket it said, "To my daughter," and it was like, "You are my sunshine," and it had a sunflower, and I just thought that was crazy.
Pun intended, huh?
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. She was crazy. I love the song too. No, it's interesting. If you're open to seeing the signs, our loved ones love to let us know that they're still very much with us. They're just in another form. They're in another dimension. If you want to call it heaven, if you want to call it the other side, whatever you want to call it, we can still very much get proof that we're not alone. They still try to be there for you and visit with you. And I have a chapter where I talk about getting signs and how to be more in tune to your intuition so that you're aware of them.
There you go. There's that intuitive healer side coming out of you.
Yep. Yep, that is. And along with a lot of tools that I give you in the book for how to work through those tough emotions, that's where you will see, oh yeah, she's an energy healer.
Heck yes, right indeed. We don't need no Bob the Builder. We need Melissa the healer.
That's right.
That's right indeed. She's got a nice tool belt too. That's right indeed. The tools are shinier.
That's right. They're very bright.
Heck yeah. That's right. That's right indeed. Brighter and lighter indeed. So my goodness, my goodness. So having this wonderful book out as a gift to the planet, on top of everything else and touching folks in all the senses with the eyes and the ears with you reading it. You got any other books planned on the horizon for the future that you think you might have on your sleeve?
I'm sure there will be. I don't know what they would be right now, but I was also told I would be writing more books. So apparently, stay tuned. There will be more books. I don't know what they'll be about yet.
Okay, all right, good deal. Sorry, indeed. So you already know you're invited back automatically when it releases.
Awesome.
Yeah, we need to have you back indeed. See what you got cooking in your head. See what's going on in Melissa's brain.
A little busy up there, I don't know.
Oh, don't worry, it ain't no wrong or busy as long as it's the good busy.
Yeah, true.
So my goodness, so being able to help out folks with grief, going through your own layers upon layers of grief, is there any skills you've been developing over the past couple of years to help advance yourself recently?
Yeah, so since I last was on your podcast, I also became certified in hypnotherapy. So I
Ooh, that's
have,
perfect for you.
Yeah, exactly. I have been working more on doing guided meditations with people and taking them into a state of relaxation to work on busting through limiting beliefs that are keeping them stuck, you know, building their self-esteem. I even have an online course, the 10-day intensive self-love course, to help people with working on building self-esteem. So that's a big passion project of mine is helping other people to see their own greatness.
Oh, me lucky. All right, cool. That's right indeed. That's quite fitting. I had a couple hypnotherapists on the show. That's right indeed. You got the voice for it and the calming energy for it. It's perfect. Psychic love.
Yes, I love that. I do past life regression too, so that's always kind of interesting and fun too, to take people back and get a lot of, you know, healing modalities. And really, I just love working with people and seeing how I can help them to live their best life.
Oh, there we go. That's what I'm talking about indeed. The BLE, the best life ever. You love to see it. Yeah, I love to see it indeed. So my goodness, so with all these wonderful tools and having hypnotherapy under your belt, has there been a client experience that's upped your game as a hypnotherapist or even, heck, as a spiritual entrepreneur?
I definitely have had clients who, after I worked with them, reached out and just let me know that I was able to give them coping skills that made getting through life a lot easier for them. And that, to me, to say, like, you've changed my life and you've given me the tools to help me make it better from now on, there's nothing better than that for me. That is one of the greatest compliments, you know, someone could pay me, is to say, you made a difference. Because my mission is always, if I make a difference in one person's life, then it's worth it.
Sweet. Gotta love that mentality indeed. Right indeed. Right indeed. The one can multiply indeed. Can be turned to hundreds and thousands, possibly millions. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness, so since you got the new book out and all the stuff that keeps you growing, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the microphone?
Maybe the question would be, why do you do what you do? And I would say that I have been just about where everyone else is or has been. I've been at the lowest point in my life, and I learned how to crawl out from the hole and dig my way out, put myself back together again. And I've had to do that several times in my life. So I feel like I had people along the way who helped me, and I'm paying it forward to help other people be able to do the same thing.
Yeah, same thing indeed. You love to see it. So I'm talking about indeed. You love to see it indeed. That's right indeed. Well, fun question for you. And this one probably is a good old left field. I'm going to ask it anyway. So your fabulous book, Beautiful Morning, A Guide to Life After Loss. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I would say that book would be like a big warm bowl of chicken soup because it's filling and nourishing, but it's also super comforting. And when we're feeling at our lowest point in life, what is it that we want? We want that comforting home cooking from our moms, right? Or our grandmas. We want that bowl of chicken soup or whatever comfort food you think of when you think of being sick. To me, that's what it's like because it's going to fill you up and nourish you, but it's also going to fill you with comfort and warmth.
Super. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, chicken noodle soup, y'all. Certainty for mom's kitchen, the specialty. Certainty,
Exactly.
certainty, the home cook special, y'all. Certainty makes you feel all warm inside. Certainty, might even feel like a teddy bear afterwards.
Yeah,
Certainty.
or I'd say white chicken chili for my daughter because that's what she always wants me to make her when she comes home is, Mom, make your white chili.
That's right. You're probably an empty nester now, right?
About to be. My children are 22 and my daughter's in Colorado going to school and my son just got his first house. So he will be moving out in just a couple of weeks. Yeah, and so yes, then unless you count two dogs as kids, which I kind of do, I will be an empty nester.
I don't think there's a college for dogs, so yeah, empty nester.
Yeah, no. I kind of
I
wish they could go to school during the day so at least they would be entertained, but
it's fun. It's hilarious how there's a dog school these days. Yep,
Yeah.
train
I
these
always see the
doggos.
TikTok of the like the bus that comes and picks all the dogs up and I kind of want that job. I think that would be fun. Like just driving the bus around, picking up dogs, taking them for rides, and then bringing them back home. Like how do you get that job? They might be more well behaved than children, I don't know.
Sadly, you're probably right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Post-COVID
It's been different being a teacher since COVID, but yeah.
Hey, name of the game. Maybe wear dog ears to a random school nearby. Be like, hey, I got dog ears. Let me in. I'm fun with the doggos. Let me in. What's the salary like?
Yeah. Is it comparable? It's got to be easier.
Certain D. Please don't say I'll pose the pace check salary, please.
Right.
The dog ears are just for show, so show you I'm friendly. I'm one of them,
Yeah.
baby.
Yeah.
Man. Well, we're coming down to the magical question reserved for guests who make it back to round two, and that is if you're called to give the final keynote address of your life, you get 90 minutes. And your audience is all 8 billion people on Earth. We were all to get them all in the same darn stadium somehow through magic. What would be the main message you would love to share? And what would the main points of that message entail?
The main message would be to spread kindness because I think we're really truly in need of that these days. And I think if you could teach people to live life in love and not fear, because I think fear is what is dividing everyone and it's so divisive. We don't always agree on things, and that's okay. You can disagree with people and still choose to be a human and be kind and I'm not sure exactly what happened in this country. I would say probably social media is one of the reasons that things are the way they are because I think people feel more comfortable being mean behind an avatar. And, I don't know that a lot of people would necessarily say the things they said if they had to say it to your face. But I would say that you don't ever know what someone else's story is, what their situation is, and you don't know that your smile isn't the thing that's going to make their day. As a teacher, Throughout the years, I will get letters or notes or cards from my kids. And one year I got a card and it was not signed. They didn't say who they were, but it just said, "Thank you for smiling every day." And I do always try to make it a habit to stand at the door and smile and greet my kids when they come in the room. But I just did that as a personal goal. It's just something I wanted to do. I really didn't know if it had an effect on the kids at all or not. And after getting that card, I realized, okay, yeah, this is important and you need to keep doing this. And I think we lose sight of that in our society. I think we lose sight of the fact that kindness doesn't take a lot of energy, it doesn't take a lot of effort, but it absolutely has a big impact.
Boom, mic drop, baby. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. You're that right, folks. The earth is a giant bagel, and your kindness is the cream cheese. Spread it around,
Exactly.
y'all. That's right
Yes.
indeed.
Spread it around, spread it like confetti.
There you go. I bet Melissa had the visual too.
Yeah. I'm a
Like, God,
teacher. I
that's
have to make it meaningful.
Okay, hashtag meaningful Melissa. You love to see it. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Sir, that right, folks, indeed. That's right. Spread the kindness, y'all. Could use a lot of more of that these days. You never know how your smile can change the freaking life of somebody, indeed. And smiles are freaking awesome, indeed. And it's a friendly face, so it's like, all right, cool. There's still hope. That's right indeed. Not everybody's downtrodden with their heads down, acting like they're Walmart employees dodging customers. It's like, hey, there's a human.
Yeah. Nice visual, yes.
Well, speaking of confetti, folks need to spread all of your wonderful wares in their life like confetti. So, for those who need to do just that and cop some copies of your magical books, what's the best way for folks to do so, Melissa?
Both books are available on Amazon, and my newest book is also available. They're also both available on Barnes and Noble, and the newest one is available on Apple Books, and soon audiobook.com or Spotify will also have the audio.
Woohoo! Well, there you have it, folks. So there you have it. Be sure to cop some copies of her magical book, especially the new one indeed, especially if you're going through some times of grief. And if you love Melissa's voice and you want to get in your brain even longer, be on the lookout for that audio book or download it. It might even be up by the time this goes up indeed. So that way it's like, all right, cool. Like Dom brought another freaking awesome guest, and her voice is freaking awesome. It's like I feel like I'm in a freaking meadow here. Like, oh shoot, she has an audiobook. All right, cool. Lavender City with this one. That's right indeed. That's right, Lavender City with this one indeed. Well, before a giant dog with lavender flower hair shows up, any parting word before we close up shop, Melissa?
If they like my voice too, they can check out Awaken Your Inner Awesomeness, which is my podcast that you were also a guest on. And that was an amazing episode. Yeah, so they can go check that out. Or they can follow me on YouTube and TikTok because I do card readings there. I do channeled messages and readings on TikTok and YouTube.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep being fabulous.